Y'all hear me well, everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Tonight I'm going to go through pretty much a portion of Luke the 19th chapter, and I want to look at pretty much the first 10 verses and try and make this make sense and help us to see the relevance of how this applies to us, but also see what was going on at that particular time. I titled what I want to talk about as The Time Is Now. The Time Is Now. The other night, I believe it was Tuesday night, Tim was talking about how Jesus had been coming through and was on his way to Jerusalem. And the last portion of that 18th chapter, if we remember, Jesus healed a man who was blind. This man was on the side of the road, and it seemed that this person was an outcast, and those who were in the crowd walking with Jesus, we believe from having studied, that they were telling him to be quiet, possibly because they wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, or possibly because they thought this man should just keep his mouth shut because he wasn't worth too much. But this man felt the need in his life for Christ. He had heard something, and he knew that this was the one who could help him. He knew that regardless of what the people had said, regardless of his situations, he knew that Christ was the one that was going to help him if he so chose to do so. And so he spoke up. He cried very loudly for the need in his life for Jesus. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus continues basically on. And so when we start with this 19th chapter, we're picking up from that and just looking at Jesus continuing toward Jerusalem. And again, I want to reiterate the title that I have given this. If you don't like it, you feel free to choose another one. I'll try to explain why, but the title is The Time Is Now. This reads, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, When I was speaking, I believe it was last week, about the publican, you know, and the Pharisee, there was a prayer, and these two men were in the court. There's some who believe that this Zacchaeus might be that very man. There's some who believe that Zacchaeus might not have been that publican, because it didn't say really that publican in that particular passage of Scripture was rich. I don't know whether it was or not, but what we see or going to see in this particular passage is it seems that these publicans, or the publican, recognize something about their situation in life. We want to remember that the publican was an outcast amongst the Jewish people because he would have chosen to reject or trade his own countrymen for that of gain. In other words, this publican, since this one says the chief of the publicans, he was quite important. It said he was rich. In other words, he chose to trade his countrymen for Rome. He would decide to extort the people that was sharing his own biological, let's say, background, heritage, history. Even they were supposed to have the same God. But something didn't matter to him because he chose riches and wealth over his own people. And so the people often would hate these publicans because of what they had done to them and being a traitor to them. It says Zacchaeus, he was chief amongst them. In other words, he was like one of the ones that you would probably go to if you needed to know some things. I was reading, it said that the publicans who were rich often, if a widow perhaps wasn't able to pay for her home or whatever it was that she might offer, the publican would possibly take her home and put her out. I also read that publicans sometimes, if a person wasn't able to pay something, then they would make the person have a mortgage or something on their home. In other words, there was no love and there was no concern. And it could be that Zacchaeus was exactly like that. The Bible tells us that Zacchaeus, it says that he was rich, so he made his wealth off of the suffering, off of the pain, off of cheating other people that he should have been treating right. But because he had no God, because he didn't keep the law that he should have known about, back in the earlier scriptures, we find that God told the people how to treat the stranger. We found that God told the people how you should not extort your brother. If you know that you're taking usury from him, you don't do things like that. When you find out, you said it straight. You keep my standard. You keep my word to help you know how to live amongst people, your brethren, and amongst me as myself being God in your midst. So we see that Zacchaeus wasn't observant any of these things. I also mentioned when I was talking about that publican and that Pharisee who went up to the prayer, I said the publican knew that he could not go into the temple to pray because there was no place for him. I was studying, and it said even in this particular text right here that Zacchaeus, since he was going through the press and he wanted to see Jesus, it said that the people probably would be mean to him, said that they would probably kick him if they felt like it, bump him or nudge him real hard, you know. And the Bible tells us that he was a small man. And so we got a backdrop here that we want to understand. But Zacchaeus knows something. Zacchaeus knows that he is wrong. Zacchaeus knows that he is a sinner. Zacchaeus knows that the people don't love him. Zacchaeus knows that the people don't care about him. Zacchaeus knows that he has betrayed God. Zacchaeus has a situation and he has lived with pain and agony in his heart, in his soul, and in his mind, and the guilt has begun to overtake him. I want to ask us a question, and please don't feel like I'm getting too far from the scriptures, because I really believe that many of us can place our name where the Bible talks about Zacchaeus. Can you remember a time, that's all I'm going to say, is can you remember a time and that you found out, that you realized that day passed, that night passed, that you needed someone to come inside and to fill you with his righteousness, that you needed someone to show you what the standard of holiness is so that you wouldn't have to live in guilt anymore, so that you wouldn't have to keep reliving the anguish of being outside of the will of God. It says Zacchaeus was a publican, and he was a rich man. The third verse says, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press because he was little of stature. I said in the beginning that there was a man in the beginning before we got to this part. There was a blind man who wanted to see Jesus, and the people wanted him to shut his mouth. Well, Zacchaeus has a situation, and he's a small man, and his situation is that people don't love him, people hate him. And he knows he's wrong, but Zacchaeus knows that he needs to see Jesus. He decided to cover up his eyes before when he knew it was right. But he said, I got to see Jesus. I've heard something about this man who's coming along here. I want to say something about Jesus. Jesus is still alive. He is still present. I want to call him Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, the one that Moses said was going to come. He said, you men and brethren, it's one that's going to come. He's going to be like me, but he's going to be more than who I am. Yes, he said it. Zacchaeus had heard something about Jesus Christ. Jesus had been healing people, been raising the dead, been preaching, been speaking to the Pharisees like your presence does not matter to me. I'm the Son of God, and I'm going to say what he told me to say. Your religious setup, your religious assembly, your religious dogma, your religious ideology, and your selfish ways does not stand up to the message that I'm bringing to you from my Father. Zacchaeus said, I need to hear something from Jesus. So he sought. He sought. He went looking, though his stature was small, though this was possibly a dangerous situation where he might have gotten hurt or bruised or something. Because of the life he lived, he said, it's worth it. It's worth it. So it may cost me something, but I've already sold out. I have nothing left. It may cost me something, but I'm going to go seeking. I'm going to see the man that we call Jesus. Lord have mercy. But he couldn't see him because of the press. There were people in his midst. I believe the rest of the people, at least a good many of them, knew about Jesus. Jesus had been walking with the crowd. I believe we can understand that. There were some who probably paid him attention and some who probably could care less to know who he was. But Zacchaeus wanted to know who he was. Do you and I want to know who he is? Sometimes we think we know him, but we need to search the scriptures. Lord have mercy. Zacchaeus, he's like, he sought Jesus. This world is seeking something, but most of the time it seems that they don't want to seek Jesus. The fourth verse says, and he ran. Think about that. He sought, he couldn't, but he ran through the press. What's the press for you and I today? Is it people? Is it money? Is it our own thoughts? Is it our stature in society? What's the press for us today? There was a press that hindered Zacchaeus. You see, the press is the obstacle. And sometimes the obstacle is there because we hold on to an obstacle. Sometimes the obstacle is there because Satan is busy. You see, when Jesus got ready to start his ministry, when he was about 30 and was going to go out, Satan tempted him. Well, it's no different for those of us who want to be called the children of God. There will be a press. Is it the lust of your heart? Is it the folks in your life? Lord, have mercy. But can you run through the press because of the urgency of the situation that you need to see Jesus? It says, and he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. He wanted to see Jesus. He got above the people, not because he was great, but the need was great. Psychologists will tell you to look down in yourself. Psychologists will tell you to lean on people. And yes, we may need people, but we need the people who got the Spirit of Christ in them. Lord, have mercy, the Holy Spirit of truth. He climbed up so that the people wouldn't be a problem. Get people out of your mind. If it's your boss, Gary, get the people out of your mind. If it's your family, get the people out of your mind. Get your eyes set on Jesus Christ because he's coming through. And we don't know how long Jesus will be there, do we? He's always, but what about our lives, you see? Let's fix the question to make it right. Jesus is always, but are we? There's an urgency to this. So he ran, he climbed, and he got up into a sycamore tree or a mulberry tree. I was reading, and one commentary said he thought it was probably hard for Zacchaeus to get up in this tree because he had visited that area and the bark was kind of smooth. Well, I read two other commentaries, and they said that those trees, don't think of the trees, sycamore trees like we have over here in this country, or sycamore trees like there are in Europe, said that those trees are usually by the wayside, and they have short stumps, and they have branches that go out that they're kind of short. So isn't it just nice how Jesus will make a way when we feel like sometimes there is no way? Quit holding on to excuses. Jesus has come. Jesus is coming through, and he comes to us, and he lets us know because the Bible tells us that the invisible things in this world of God's creation will show to mankind what his invisible power is, what his mighty power is. Lord, have mercy. The sycamore tree being short with its branches going out. See that they go out, you know, just pretty much from side to side and that they're kind of thick. With Zacchaeus to climb up. And he ran before Jesus was coming there. For he was to pass that way. Jesus was going to come through. And the fifth verse says, are you ready to read for me? I want you to read that fifth verse for me.
And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.
Looking at this, it just, for the first time, when I was looking at this, trying to prepare for tonight's message, I was thinking, Zacchaeus, in the beginning, we see all of the focus on Zacchaeus and his preparation and his trying to get to Christ. But when Christ is passing through, the scripture doesn't tell us right here that Zacchaeus called out to Christ. And if you were to read through it, I think your Bible hopefully would say the same thing that mine is saying, whatever version it is, it says that Christ actually speaks out to him. But Zacchaeus, it looks like we see a heart actually that is ready. We see a heart that, in spite of his past, we see a heart that is looking toward Jesus. But it says that Jesus speaks to him. It says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he saw him. And it says, and he said unto him. So all that Zacchaeus has done, it was wonderful. It was great. But Jesus has always been ready for man to turn his heart toward him. If we can think back to what John the Baptist was told, he said, make the way plain, make it straight, make the crooked straight for Jesus Christ. John the Baptist says, the one who's coming, he's greater than I am. He's going to baptize you more than with just water. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said that he himself had to decrease so that Christ would increase. But what was his message? He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so we see right here that Jesus Christ is coming, and he's speaking to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, I believe, who was a lonely man because of the trade that he had decided to live within. But he heard about Jesus. Jesus speaks to him. The same Jesus Christ that wants this world to hear him today. Zacchaeus was ready to hear. What does Jesus say to Zacchaeus? He says, make haste. Hence the reason for my title, the time is now. When Jesus told those disciples, he says, you know what, follow me. They dropped what they were doing to follow him. Here's Zacchaeus, a rich man, a rich publican, despised though he may have been, it seems that he would have had all that he needed. It seems that he would have been contented to his little heart's desire. Seems that he would have been able to buy all that he needed. But it didn't buy him love. It didn't buy him joy. It didn't buy him consolation and fellowship with God. So all that he had, this little man, he did not have God. He was lonely, miserable, and full of guilt, and he was a sinner. Lord, have mercy. I said we maybe should put our name in the place of Zacchaeus. Perhaps we should have our metaphorical mulberry tree so that we can get up and see Jesus. Get down in his word and see Jesus. Get ready. Run through the press. Hear and see and listen to Jesus, because Jesus is saying, make haste. You don't know when I'm coming back. You need to be ready. Lord, have mercy. Zacchaeus, make haste and calm down. I'm giving you commands. We call that in grammar, we call it imperative. You know when somebody says it's imperative that you wash your hand before you eat. It's imperative that you sneeze in your elbow so you won't spread germs. They don't say that, but those are commands. A command is not always something that we call negative. It's when somebody tells you what to do. Jesus' command is that, get in a hurry. Do this now. I don't care anything about your money. Get down for today. The urgency is, the time is now. Today, I must abide at your house. So all of the preparations that you're doing, before you had your little preparations in your mind, I was ready for you, Zacchaeus. Before, Gary, you had little preparations in your mind, I was ready for you. Before you who are listening tonight, I was ready for you. When God made this world, he made everything good. Lord, have mercy. Yes, he did. He's looking to reconcile things. Zacchaeus needs to be reconciled. He was a traitor. Yes, he was. Jesus said, get down. And what did Zacchaeus do? It's a beautiful thing to see that he obeyed. Before I go into the sixth verse, I want to make a comparison or a contrast, however you look at it. There was another rich man that we had talked about prior to this, to tonight's lesson. And I think some people call him the rich young ruler. Jesus told him, you know, there's certain things that you need to do. And that rich young ruler said, you know what, master, teacher, I have done all these things since my youth. Yes, I have. And he patted himself on the back with his words. Yes, he did. And felt so wonderful about it that Jesus said, you know what, there's something that you lack. What can it be? What can it be? What can it be? I'll tell you what. You've done well so far, but how about this, as my brother says, partner? go sell everything that you got and come back, talk to me. And it said that this rich man went away sorrowfully. I don't believe that rich man wanted to get up in a mulberry tree. I don't believe this rich man had a press to go through. I believe the press probably stood aside and made like the red carpet for him to step on or something. I'm just painting a little picture here. I'm adding a little bit of flavor to this, if y'all don't mind tonight. There is a contrast right here between one rich man and another rich man. One rich man who felt he was so much, and another rich man right now who, as the other night we were talking about, has some humility. Some humility to see who God's son is. Wow, what a difference between these two. Jesus said that it is hard for the rich to enter into heaven. Didn't he say that? I believe we can read where he said that. He said that thing. Zacchaeus, let's go back to the text here. The sixth verse says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully.
Joyfully.
Received him joyfully. See, sometimes people, they feel like they receive Christ, but see, Christ is, we receive Christ only in the sense of the word that we might make a little bit of time for, we might hear him, but to receive him is to trust him, to hear him and obey him. Christ told Zacchaeus, he said, I must spend time at your house. How much time is Christ spending in our house? Do you and I remember that the Bible says that our body is not our own, that is the temple of God? You cannot do what you want to with your own body. Those who came after him, as far as the apostles and so forth, they told us how that we ought not to render members of our body as instruments of unrighteousness. The Bible tells us that when Christ died, it's like if we are in him, that we should be in him, and that we are to live a circumspect life for holiness, that to whomever we yield ourselves service to obey, his service we are. In other words, if we yield to Satan, then it's like Satan is our father. If we yield and we trust and we obey God, then God is our father. Zacchaeus obeyed. Zacchaeus saw a need. Zacchaeus humbled himself to the one who had the standard, to the one who had the authority. Would to God that we could think like this. Would to God that we will understand what the precepts are from this passage. I say, Lord, please help me daily, not that just when I read this stuff, I might feel good that I can say something about it. I don't want to feel good if that's what all feeling good is about. There's the pain. And one title that I had for this tonight was, it will cost you something, the great exchange, because this is an exchange for one thing you give up to gain another. And it will cost you something. It's a sacrificial way of life. Zacchaeus was to give up his own way of living. Zacchaeus was to give up being selfish. Zacchaeus was to give up his pride. Zacchaeus was to give in to a life of freedom, a life of joy, a life of being in the family of God. Lord have mercy, a life of being pardoned and having strength and fellowship. This is wonderful. Seventh verse says, and when they saw it, they all murmured. It's like, well, who was this day that you're talking about here? Back in the third verse, it says there was a press, this obstacle that perhaps intentionally bumped into him, that maybe kicked and maybe tried to. You know, when I was on the bus sometime when I was younger, I would like crawl up under the seat every now and then, and I'd like to try and tie people's shoelaces together. I do it all the time, but I did it maybe a couple of times. It's like an obstacle. People maybe trying to stick their foot out in front of somebody so they'll fall. Maybe they did something intentionally, maybe they didn't. Well, either way, they were an obstacle because of his stature. It didn't hold Zacchaeus back, especially when Jesus came and said, come be with me. I need to spend time at your house. When they saw it, the people that was in the press, they all murmured, saying that he is going to be a guest with the man that's a sinner. The Pharisees went and take the sinner in the house. And I was like, wow, what about that attitude? We can be so righteous over much right now, but if somebody had been stealing you, taking your money and stuff, wouldn't you feel like, you deserve it? And possibly, to a certain extent, maybe rightfully so. We think justice should be meted out to people who exact injustice upon others. But the thing that we need to really remember about this particular passage is that Zacchaeus' heart was ready to be changed. He saw something in himself, but it was really because of the grace of God that he saw that. We should never think that when we see something in ourselves that we have had, it can be an epiphany because of the gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is, because God didn't have to even send his son to die for us. So we should never feel that we have come to the point where we're just like better than someone else. The thing is here is that Zacchaeus, God is showing us a picture when the heart is malleable, when the heart is ready to conform to the things of God. And so sometimes what we also should remember is that sometimes within the life of people, I don't think this crowd could see inside Zacchaeus' heart. They knew what they knew. They knew what was in the past. I don't know if they had seen evidence of where he was trying to change, but we see that he made some strides. He made some efforts. When you want to change, you make efforts. And it's not an effort that comes just from yourself. Only the Holy Spirit can give power to do that. But you must spend time with Christ. He must come into your heart. You must listen to what his words are. You cannot do it by yourself. Lord have mercy. Politicians can't help you. Teachers can't help you. Your parents can't even help you in the right way that will sustain you for a life that's eternal if they don't have the life of Jesus Christ, his Spirit, and his Father. Lord have mercy. So the press was complaining because they wanted this man to be punished. They wanted justice, but there was a better justice that he needed. Lord have mercy, to have a heart that would be washed by the truth. You see, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So Zacchaeus and going to spend time with Jesus Christ, I wonder what that conversation was like. Don't you wonder what that conversation was like? I said, Jesus called to Zacchaeus, though he was ready. Not the other way around. The scriptures didn't show that Zacchaeus called out to Christ like the blind man did. Christ called him. So Christ is ready for us all to make a change, should the change be needed. And he's ready for us all to hold on to his hand or to stay within the vine. And when Satan comes to us and tries to sway us, don't. Wait, it's going to cost us something, and the time is now to remain in Christ, or the time is now to come to Christ. Lord have mercy. What was the conversation like when Jesus got to his house? Now listen, between verses 7 and 8, some time has elapsed that the scripture right here does not tell us what it is. So I just suppose, in part, what that conversation was like. Do you mind if I interject here? I'm going to interject right here. Wonder if the conversation was anything like this. Cain, where is your brother? Cain had killed Abel, and Cain needed to come to grips with what God was telling him about himself. He needed to be truthful to God and repent. Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? And when God placed judgment on him, it's like, this is too hard for me. You ain't God. You ought not put this on me. Zacchaeus, what you been doing? Was the conversation like, woman, where's your husband? Tell him to come too. Give me the drink of water and go get your husband. She said, master, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. Zacchaeus, what you been doing? Was it like, David, what do you have to say for taking the wife in the life of Uriah, that faithful servant? Was like, Zacchaeus, what have you been doing? I believe Zacchaeus answered some questions, because if you know anything about the Jews and the rabbis, they would ask each other questions. I believe Jesus asked him some questions. If he didn't, he gave him truth. He gave him truth, and Zacchaeus had to come to terms with the truth. But Zacchaeus was ready for it. He wasn't like the rich young ruler who was going to turn away sorrowful because he had so much. All that we think we got, all that we think we need, we better let it go if it's going to keep us from having eternal life. I was reading, and one commentator said that something about this being saved here or being lost, said it didn't mean Zacchaeus was damned. I'm like, where did you get that from? Talk about salvation right here. Salvation from what? if he was an outcast and he couldn't be around the temple, even though he was biologically a Jew, he was an outcast. Lord have mercy. He was not a member of the body of Christ. And we said, well, that hadn't happened yet. Well, these scriptures are written for our learning so that we, through patience and comfort, that the scripture might have hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I got to spend time with you at your house. Get down. Get down from your high horse. Get down from whatever it is that seems to be keeping you, separating you from my words of truth, that seems to be keeping you from really seeing what I'm telling you about your nature. You must be born again. Zacchaeus, I ask you, what are you doing? You have been taking money from people. You have betrayed God. You knew that when you took this money from these people, you were doing it. You were wrong, you sinner. Supposed to give it back. That's what the scriptures say. Leviticus, I think, is 6 and 5 is one of them. It says when you take money from people, then you give it back to, or you cheat the people. Very, very, very synoptical way that I'm saying this. I know that probably doesn't make sense, but I think you know what I mean. You give it back, all of it, and then the fifth, you pay more. We're going to see something here. So I said time elapsed between verses 7 and 8. And the eighth verse says, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. Isn't that wonderful? He was probably taken from the poor. I say that sometimes these publicans would take from widows and so forth. They knew that they couldn't do it. They would take this stuff. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I believe that was rhetorical. Like, I believe it's like because I have, or since I have, or I probably have. It says, I will restore him fourfold. He went above and beyond what he was supposed to do or had to do as required by the scriptures. So I said before, sometimes we think we come to Jesus, but it's really his grace and his mercy. When we understand that our life is wrong, it is more than just an understanding or a mental thing, like when you go to Alcoholics Anonymous, never been, but I believe that part of what they show us is right. I've talked to a few people who've attended. When you have to admit certain things, when drug addicts go through rehabilitation and they have to first admit the problem, you have to repent. You say, and then you make a turnabout faith, and then you trust in the Lord, and you stay in his word. And we walk in newness of life. Lord have mercy. I believe Zacchaeus, when Jesus said, what are you doing? You wrong. You need to change. You need to restore. Zacchaeus, I'm changing. I'm going to change. The time is now to change. If you hadn't got up in that tree, if you hadn't been contemplating the fact that this man is coming through, that I'm the Christ, that I'm the one that could change your life, that I'm the one that can, in spite of the situation of how your past used to be, in spite of the situation of how your ugly, evil, selfish heart was, I can change you, I can give you peace, and I can restore you rightfully to the Father. I can do that for you. Even though the press may not understand what's going on, I can do that for you. I can make a change in your life that'll be visible so that when they see your light, they see it shining, they will glorify my Father, which is in heaven. Jesus said, I believe it's written, he said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Zacchaeus said, I'm tired of the darkness. I'm coming. My deeds have been evil, but I want to come to you. When we want to come to Christ, we want to get it right. We want to get it right. Not man's right, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see, the world knows about morals and they say, well, my good is good. I'm a good person. You can be a good person all you want to and society be thankful for it, but it's not going to get you into heaven. Philosophies of the world will not get you in heaven. Money won't get your eye into heaven. Distinction with accolades, awards, degrees will not get us into heaven. Knowing the right people will not get us into heaven. But Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. You want to live? It's through me. Do you want to live? Zacchaeus, it's through me. You got to change. You have to hear.
hear my words, and you have to understand as a Jew, to be faithful means to obey my words daily. It's a yielding of self to my command. The time is now. Get down, Zacchaeus. What did Jesus say about this? About the proof. See, his words weren't empty. People say things, but give it a little time. Jesus went and spent time with this man in his house. Jesus wanted to spend time in our hearts, but sometimes there was a song a long time ago I used to listen to whenever they would play, and I liked it. And it was talking about, it said, a heart is like a house. One day I let my Savior in. There were many rooms that we would visit now and then. And then it talks about there was a room in that heart that Jesus wanted to go. And the lady sang, she said, but I had some hidden things there. I didn't want anybody to know. But he opened up the key and so forth. And then she finally let Jesus into that part. But I'm not saying that there's a specific part. I don't know. I said, God, help me speak tonight. What would be beneficial? What would be food for all of us who hear it and for me who's trying to speak tonight? When she said she opened up that room and said, basically she received joy because she had to let go. She had to obey. She had to trust. So I like the song. And tonight, we see in this passage that he not only spoke, because Pharisees did a lot of speaking. The Bible says that when they prayed, they spoke many words. Jesus said, these people honor me with their lip, but their mouth is far from me. There's got to be something. So saying a little prayer is not going to keep you just because you say, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you come into my life, and I'm saying this prayer. Now, Lord, that's not going to keep you. You see, look at the scriptures. And I'm not even making fun of that. I'm not even making fun of that because I believe it's a tool that's hurt many people. Zacchaeus, as a Jew, understood he was to obey and he was to follow. That's what he understood, to keep the precepts, not that you live any kind of way. He made a change, and he was going to restore what was wrong, how he had wronged people, I mean. So, and looking at these last two verses here, the ninth verse says this, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Look at, it says this day. In the fifth verse, it says, Zacchaeus make haste and come down today. Talk about Zacchaeus having an obstacle, but that day, I just feel like that day was important. We think we have time, don't we? We think we're going to get up in the morning, don't we? Don't we? For real, we do. He said, this day is salvation. Come to this house. I must spend time with you, Zacchaeus, with you. Salvation, the deliverance to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Now, biologically, he was already a son of Abraham, but the Bible gives us to know that there's a spiritual understanding that's connected to Abraham. We see that Abraham, he talked about when we were looking in the 16th chapter, that we saw one who was in the bosom of Abraham. Abraham has more than just a surface place in the history. Abraham was like the father of faith, being faithful. Abraham, Galatians and other scriptures will give us to know that those who are obedient to the will of God, they are Jews, not Jews because of being biological Jews or having a circumcision or keeping rituals and so forth. It's not that. Those rituals that they kept back in the ancient times or biblical times were to show them the character, the will, and the judgment of God. They were to get to a point where they were to mature beyond those rituals to understand God's provision, his love, and how he meant what he said. Today, Zacchaeus, salvation has come unto you. You're being restored, Zacchaeus. You've been restored because I see that you're making a true repentance, a turnaround. You're a child, a son of Abraham. It means something. It's just Jesus chided those people, those Pharisees, because they thought they knew Moses, because they thought they knew Abraham, because they thought they knew God. So what? You can say, you can let that roll off your lips. That don't mean a thing. Jesus spent time with him. I wish I knew how long, but it's in circumstantial. Does that make sense, in circumstantial? In this last verse, inconsequential. Thank you. My English is not that good, but anyway. The 10th verse says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I believe that this lost is more than just, well, the commentator that I disagree with said something that lost meant being in the wrong place. Well, being in the wrong place when the house is on fire and can't get out, what does that mean? I looked it up, and the source was a Strong, and I know there are better sources than Strong, but I didn't have one. And what I saw for it, for lost, was to perish, to destroy, to die. I think they don't sound too positive to me. I looked up save, same source. It says deliver, protect, heal, preserve. If you're going to be healed from something, we should all understand that you heal because sin is coming to the world and causes people to die. I don't really see getting around it. I believe that's people buying onto the modern translation and so forth of this. The parables were given so that we understand what life is and who Christ is. Being away from Christ, being separate from God, the Bible tells us that that's like death. It's like death. If he needed to be restored, then what other purpose for this parable? I don't really understand that. So anyway, Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man," that Son of Man, let's remember that the Son of Man is the same one whom the nations will go to. The 7th chapter of Daniel talked about the Son of Man in the Ancient of Days and that relationship between them. The Son of Man is the one who conquers, the one upon whose shoulders will be the government of this world, because God will place it there. It wasn't the Medes, the Persians, it wasn't the Greeks, it wasn't the Romans, who in this particular time in history were in control. But it's Jesus Christ. It's not the people today. It's not Obama. It's not Sarkozy in France. It's not Vladimir or whatever his name is over there in Russia, if I got the right one. It's none of these people. It's Jesus. And people come up with all these ways that they think that the world should be ruled, and people in China and people over there in the Middle East. There's so much conflict, so much conflict, so much conflict, and they all feel that they have their own righteousness. Well, Jesus says a house divided against itself can't stand. There's got to be a righteousness, a standard that is for all people, because everybody will put themselves up and then mistreat others. That's what's happening in the world. Zacchaeus was mistreating others. There's a who, there's a what, there's a when, and there's a where in this particular passage. The who is Zacchaeus. The greater who is Jesus Christ. The who, the little who is Zacchaeus. The what was his greed is what caused the problem. The when is the moment is now. That day Zacchaeus was to obey. Today, this moment, we are to obey. We're in the presence of Jesus Christ so that we can be in Jesus Christ and be reconciled unto the Father. Zacchaeus seemed to lose his blinders back a long time ago, around the, I think it was 1989, I took my first little psychology class, and I thought, oh, my goodness. And the teacher I said, "You got to take your blinders off. You got to take your blinders off." I was like, what? Zacchaeus took his blinders off to see Jesus. He stepped above the people, because people will keep you down. Mm-hmm. And don't forget that you and I are people. Mm-hmm. Don't let Satan let your stature do it. Your stature is nothing. Let's have the right perspective. Our stature is nothing before God. And even when he comes to our life, it doesn't make us better because we're better. It makes us better because of the quality of joy, peace, and power he gives us to live a different life, a life of righteousness. So this lesson, I enjoyed teaching it. I hope it made sense. And I'm going to pray briefly here, and then we'll open it up for discussion. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Help us to remember it. Help us to trust you. Help us to be like that woman that you talked about in the 18th chapter, to not fail to pray, not fail to trust you. It seems that you want us to come to you with our problems. It seems that you want us to trust you. It seems that you want us to obey you. It seems that you'll give us a peace. Help us to know you. Help us to do these things with joy and with fear and with consistency. I thank you for your grace, Lord. Help us all in the various situations we might be going through, but through it all to see you. If we need mulberry trees, help us, Lord, to have them. Help us to go above the situation and people to see you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open up for discussion. Anybody?